Hello, thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Each of us is an ambassador for Jesus Christ as we seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. Being an ambassador for Christ might give us pause to think about the job of an ambassador who represents one nation to another nation. What being an ambassador looks like will in some ways be the same without regard to which other nation the ambassador is posted, because all ambassadors have the same broad responsibilities. How they fulfill those responsibilities may vary from nation to nation based on situations within the host nation to which they are posted. Ambassadors serve as the official representative of their own country within the host nation and frequently are involved in negotiations impacting trade, security, and diplomacy. They report back to their own nation and work to protect the interests of citizens of their country within the host nation. When posted to a country that is friendly to their own country, ambassadors focus on topics such as broadening the level of cooperation between the countries, cultural exchange, and bilateral trade. There are generally fewer concerns for their safety within their posted country. Being an ambassador to a hostile country doesn't excuse an ambassador from any of their responsibilities, but how those responsibilities are fulfilled will look different. Often in a hostile country, there is much greater concern for the safety and security of the ambassador. Anything from lower-level intimidation to more severe forms of threat. Hostile nations are more likely to expel an ambassador over policy disputes or even the words used by the ambassador. When a nation is hostile, it's not unusual for the media of that nation to feed on that hostility in their reporting. Diplomatic functions can be curtailed by hostile nations, with ambassadors being denied or very limited in meetings held with the host nation. The staff size of the embassy can also be limited, and diplomats can also be restricted. Considering there are friendly and hostile nations, and even richer or poorer nations, we might conclude that the best diplomatic posting for an ambassador would be to a rich, friendly country. The ambassador posted to the poor hostile nation might be seen as a less favorable posting. Regardless of the host nation, all ambassadors still represent their own country with the title ambassador. It is no different for us within the household of faith. By reading the letters to the churches in Revelation, we can see each church was impacted by unique experiences, much like each ambassador is impacted by unique experiences. With the churches in Revelation, some of the churches seemed to be at peace with the world around them, and others were persecuted, even to death. Each church was told that those who overcome would have eternal life. The same message was given to churches at peace and persecuted churches. Just like day-to-day life might look different for an ambassador to a friendly host nation compared to a hostile host nation, what happens day-to-day for a Christian in a friendly nation might look different compared to what happens in a hostile country. All of us are expected to be ambassadors for Christ. I live in the United States, a country with religious freedom, but where segments of society are increasingly becoming more antagonistic towards religious ideals. But I don't feel threatened for the faith I have. The experiences of a Christian living in another country where religious freedom is restricted would look different. I am very able to share Sabbath Bible study with like-minded people at will. But for those who live in a country with restrictions on religion, they may not have the same freedoms. Wherever we live, we are to be ambassadors for Christ. Before Paul wrote of being an ambassador for Christ, the Bible records different instances of ambassadors. As Israel was taking possession of the Promised Land, the prior occupants were being soundly defeated. Seeing defeat after defeat by what must have seemed like a ragtag group of soldiers must have caused nations to take notice. Israel had been told that God would fight for them, but these other nations who would have worshipped other gods with a small g probably overlooked that element, but not the Gibeonites because they understood what God had done. Some joined with Israel as allies, and it was the inhabitants of Gibeon who tried to trick Israel into an alliance by having some of their people dress as ambassadors who had come from a long distance, implying that their country was far off, when in fact it was very near. They sought peace with Israel and were able to fool Joshua into becoming allies. Joshua 9, verse 1. And it came to pass, when all the kings which were on this side Jordan, in the hills and in the valleys, and in all the coasts of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittite, and the Amorite, and the Canaanite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite heard thereof, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work willingly, and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses, and wine bottles old and rent and bound up, and old shoes, and clouted upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him, and to the men of Israel, We be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, Peradventure ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? And they said unto Joshua, We are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, Who are ye, and from whence come ye? And they said unto him, From a very far country thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him, and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon king of Heshbon, and to Og king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, Take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, We are your servants. Therefore now make ye a league with us. This our bread we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you, but now, behold, it is dry and it is moldy. And these bottles of wine which we filled were new, and behold, they be rent. And these our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. And the men took off their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them. Joshua soon found out Gibeon's deception, and instead of expelling or killing them, made them work as lumberjacks and to provide water. The Gibeonites explained that they were very aware of the might of the army of Israel and wanted to avoid a certain death. But because of the prior agreement, Israel could not harm them. Later, when other kings decided to attack Gibeon, Israel came to its defense in the battle where the sun stood still. Ambassadors would play a role in the history of Israel and even later on in Judah, which found itself at the center of disputes between Egypt and Carchemish. Necho, king of Egypt, brought his army through Judah to fight Carchemish. Just like any nation today, Judah and its king Josiah took offense to another nation's military using its territory to stage an attack on a third nation, and this eventually led to Josiah's death. Before his death, King Necho sent ambassadors to Josiah to defuse the situation, but Josiah decided to fight in the Valley of Megiddo. By this time, Judah was a very weak nation, and after killing Josiah, King Necho of Egypt installed a king of Judah of his choosing. Josiah died in the Valley of Megiddo, and the great battle before the return of Jesus Christ will take place at the Mount of Megiddo, Armageddon. 2 Chronicles 35, verse 20. After all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish by Euphrates, and Josiah went out against him. But he sent ambassadors to him, saying, What have I to do with thee, thou king of Judah? I come not against thee this day, but against the house wherewith I have war. For God commanded me to make haste. Forbear thee from meddling with God, who is with me, that he destroy thee not. Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself, that he might fight with him, and hearkened not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of God, and came to fight in the valley of Megiddo. And the archers shot at King Josiah, and the king said to his servants, Have me away, for I am sore wounded. His servants therefore took him out of that chariot, and put him in the second chariot that he had. They brought him to Jerusalem, and he died, and was buried in one of the sepulchres of his fathers, and all Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah. And Jeremiah lamented for Josiah, and all the singing men and the singing women spake of Josiah in their lamentations to this day, and made them an ordinance in Israel, and behold, they are written in the Lamentations. Now the rest of the acts of Josiah, and his goodness according to that which was written in the law of the Lord, and his deeds, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. History records a huge loss for Egypt in the ensuing battle, and increased the influence of Babylon over the region which aligns to the rest of 2 Chronicles, and is even recorded in Jeremiah chapter 46. Moving towards the New Testament and our role as ambassadors for Christ, we look to the writings of Paul that tell us that in Jesus Christ we are a new creation, forsaking our previous life of sin and seeking first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and how in living that life focused on righteousness, that we are ambassadors for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We are not called to surrender faith to this world. We must be willing to forsake everything to be an ambassador for Christ. Ambassadors of this world at times do find themselves at odds with their host nation, and even in unfavorable times must still represent their own country. Our spiritual citizenship is in heaven, and we must do what is righteous, acting as ambassadors for Christ. Being an ambassador for Christ means being responsible to live our life aligned to God's righteousness. Because all Scripture is profitable for instruction in righteousness, living our life aligned to God's righteousness means we live our life aligned to what is in the Bible. God's righteousness is not instead of what is in the Bible, but is understood and done by man by doing what is in the Bible. Doing what is in the Bible can put us at odds with others. My home state of Texas requires all public schools to post the Ten Commandments on a poster in a size that is readable from anywhere in the classroom by a person of average vision. Those Ten Commandments include the commandment to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. These are the same schools which have a plethora of school activities on Friday nights and on Saturdays, which is the Sabbath. When we read in the New Testament that all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for instruction in righteousness, along with a few other attributes, the Scripture they had at that time was what we would call Old Testament Scripture, including the Ten Commandments. Knowing there is the command to remember the Sabbath to keep it holy and not doing that will not lead to righteousness. As an ambassador for Christ, we cannot toss what is inconvenient from the Bible, because that would be tossing aside righteousness. A nation would be rightfully concerned if its ambassador forsook its values and began to embrace the values of the host nation. We must always remain loyal to God our Father and Jesus Christ, and from time to time that means we will have to forsake everything we have. Luke 14, verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage, and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Being an ambassador for Christ means we need to understand that while we represent the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, that does not make us God's equal. It does make us a servant of God, a servant who realizes that God's ways are different and higher than mankind's ways and thoughts. As people, we can plan and hope for a result, and with God, what he purposes will happen. Isaiah 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Whenever we receive critical information, we value when the information we are given is accurate. There can be nothing more frustrating or even devastating than being given inaccurate information, especially when that information is time-limited or when it is essential that the information conform to civil and criminal law. Bad information can lead to all sorts of missteps and troubles. Proverbs 13, verse 16. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. Knowing that bad information can lead to all sorts of missteps and troubles, we need to safeguard that we are not recipients of bad information in our physical or spiritual lives. More importantly, the information we provide has to be faithful, especially spiritual information. When we share spiritual information that contradicts a person's current understanding, such as Friday night and Saturday being the biblical Sabbath and not Sunday, we don't need to be rude or confrontational about it, nor do we need to be defensive about it. We do have to be faithful with the spiritual information we share. The information sought by society might be different than what we are being led to share. For instance, we live in a time where it is very easy for people to dislike and even hate another person for reasons like political differences. There are many other reasons why a person might hate, but there is lots of hatred with political differences when once there was political debate. Many who think of Jesus Christ see peace and love, and also see that he would eat with those who the scribes and Pharisees would avoid at all costs. Because they see the peaceful side of Jesus, they give no thought that even Jesus will wage war against the remnant of what is evil on earth. The concept that there is a time for everything, including war and peace, is given to us in Ecclesiastes. And just for the record, in this passage, war precedes peace. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. Those who only see the peaceful side of Jesus overlook passages showing the return of Jesus will not be the time of peace that people are expecting. In Revelation, we read of a white horse descending from heaven with a faithful and true rider who in righteousness judges and wages war. That's a hard concept that war can be waged in righteousness, but that is what the Bible says. We know this writer is called faithful and true, and that his name is called the Word of God. The same Word that was with God and was God who later lived among John and the disciples as a man in the form of Jesus Christ, as written in the first chapter of John. This is Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords. The spiritual army on white horses follows him to smite the nations, to rule them with a rod of iron, and to deliver the wrath of Almighty God. As the spiritual army on white horses descends from heaven, an angel calls the birds of the planet to a feast to eat the bodies of the armies of men who will be killed. Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Many think the return of Jesus will be a peaceful return, but we know the return of Jesus will begin with a huge battle where the armies of mankind will be wiped out. Before peace is permanently established, many other events occur. Eventually, a new earth and a new heaven are established, and New Jerusalem becomes the capital of the kingdom of God. This will be a time when there is no more pain and suffering, and every evil that we see in the world today will no longer exist. A message is given that those who overcome will inherit all things, but certain people will be excluded from this time of peace, including the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and liars. Revelation 21, verse 8. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Imagine the devastating consequences if we shared the wrong message on sin. Sin is sin and is not righteousness. Imagine the consequences if we told a fearful person to continue to be fearful, if we shared a message that reinforced unbelief or enabled a person to commit abominations. Imagine the consequences if we taught human life has no value or that it's acceptable for sex to be a free-for-all. Imagine what would happen if we taught that people could worship things or people instead of God and Jesus Christ. Imagine if instead preaching truth, we preached a lie. The consequences would be huge for us and devastating for so many others. The Bible may be rejected for its message by mankind, but being an ambassador for Christ means we remain faithful to the message of the Bible. Each day, we grow closer to the return of Jesus Christ. We will not know the day and hour of his return, but with each new day, we know we are one day closer to his return, and for that, we can be grateful. In the end time, we know from prophecy, there will be many challenges of faith. Daniel writes of fierce anger against the Holy Covenant, which broadly means the faith given to us through the Bible will be under assault, and that more broadly, what is described as the Judeo-Christian faith will be under assault. We see imagery of the abomination that makes desolate replacing the daily sacrifice, giving us imagery of a future temple in Jerusalem before the return of Jesus. Flattery will be used as a weapon in this great end-time deception. But the people who know their God will be strong and do exploits. Some of the people who know their God will instruct many, and some will die. Daniel warns us that in this end time, many will cleave to the truth with flatteries. These are people who say nice things, but they do not mean it. These are the people who, for example, will post the Ten Commandments, including the commandment to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy, and then not keep the Sabbath holy. When the abomination of desolation occurs, the return of Jesus Christ is very close. But some of the faithful will die even in these final days leading up to the return of Jesus. Daniel 11, verse 29. At the time appointed, he shall return and come toward the south, but it shall not be as the former or as the latter. For the ships of Kittim shall come against him, therefore he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the Holy Covenant. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence with him that forsake the Holy Covenant. An arm shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword and by flames, by captivity and by spoil, many days. Now when they shall fall, they shall be holpen with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge, and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. Being an ambassador for Christ means we deliver a message of truth that is based on the Bible. We do not deliver a message of lies that is not based on the Bible. John 17, verse 13. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou should keepest them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Our spiritual citizenship, or as the King James Version translates it, our conversation, is in heaven. But we are still citizens of a nation on this planet. Knowing our spiritual citizenship is in heaven, we must be doing those things that are spiritual and not doing those things which are sin. Think of an ambassador from your nation on earth serving in what is thought of as a hostile foreign country. In that hostile foreign country, the government and people might hate your nation and do things which are horrific in your own country. Your nation's ambassador to that nation will notice and report back to their own nation what is happening, but will not participate in those things which are hostile to their own country. They will not try and stop the people of the host nation from doing those things, which would be done in their own country, but would, through diplomacy, explain as appropriate why the practices of the host nation are seen as horrific by their own country. Similarly, the evil and sin in this world is something we will notice. We won't participate in it. We will not attack those who live a life of sin and evil. As appropriate, we will share why we seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. Philippians 3, verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. In his first letter, John warns us to not believe every spirit, but to try spirits to see if they are of God, because there are many false prophets, and we need to look to those who believe that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. From this we can understand the words of the Bible are twisted and turned for individual advantage. While we tend to think of the end time Antichrist, Revelation speaks of the beast and false prophet. Being an ambassador for Christ means we acknowledge and teach that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Being an ambassador for Christ means we do not look to a person's status and please them instead of God and Jesus Christ. We will always do those things pleasing in the sight of God and Jesus Christ without regard to what any person may think, knowing that if we honor God, God will honor us. And if we do not honor God, God will not honor us. 1 Samuel 2, verse 27. And there came a man of God unto Eli, and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel my people. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, Be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Being an ambassador for Christ means we represent the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. Just like a nation would expect its ambassador posted to a foreign nation to represent its interests within that foreign nation, we are expected to represent the interests of the kingdom of God and God's righteousness in how we live our life. We will put on the whole armor of God, because God has posted us to a world that is under the sway of Satan the devil, who is hostile to God and to us. Our battles are spiritual and not physical, meaning that even though we interact with people, our interactions are being spiritually directed behind the scenes. Satan uses his influence to bring evil to us, and when he can, will use people to help them. Our battle is not with these people, but with Satan. We fight a spiritual battle. We are clothed in truth and use righteousness defensively as a breastplate. Our go-to message is a message of the gospel of Christ, a message that simply begins with his death and resurrection so that all can have the hope of eternal life. We use faith defensively to defend against all attacks of Satan. The hope of salvation protects our thought processes, and the only offensive weapon we have is the Word of God, the Bible. That's one of the reasons why when Jesus was tempted by Satan, who misquoted Scripture, that Jesus responded by quoting Scripture. Finally, we pray for others of the faith that they may be similarly prepared for spiritual battle, and we serve as an ambassador of Christ wherever we find ourselves, even if we find ourselves in prison or otherwise limited in what we can do. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Being an ambassador for Christ means we serve wherever we find ourselves. Whether we find ourselves in an area that is friendly to the Word of God, or whether we find ourselves in an area that is hostile to the Word of God, we serve as an ambassador for Christ, knowing that the opposition we face is fueled not by people, but by Satan, who seeks to deceive this world. Whether we find ourselves in an area friendly or hostile to the Word of God, we represent Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God, and the kingdom of God, being ambassadors for Christ.